decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It's Monday, the 31st of January. Last day of the first month of the year. We are already 1/12 of the way through 2022. So look in the rearview mirror, and at least when I look in the rearview mirror, that's most of my life at my age. I got a lot more behind me than I do ahead of me, if statistics are to be believed. Now, if we had the lifespans pre-flood, I'd be about an eighth of the way through it. But I'd be like a 16th of the way to it. If you figure 800-900 years, that would be interesting. I know we're destined for eternity in heaven, those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And eternity is a really long time. But then I think about, what would it be like to live 700-900 years here on the earth? Imagine what you could accomplish. At age 56, in a lot of ways, I'm just now finally figuring out a lot of stuff. And yet I'm on the downhill slope. It would have been nice to have had, some of these things figured out in my 20s and be able to apply them in my 30s and 40s that I now have finally started figuring out in my 50s. Would have made life a lot easier. But once again, life doesn't have an edit function. And life doesn't have an edit function because God decreed everything. We are here where we are because that is where God has decreed that we would be. And so going back and changing things, while often a fun daydream, would not achieve, I think, anywhere close to the ends that we think we would desire at all. So trust God, accept where you're at, and this is where I'm at, and this is where you're at, and it's Monday, the last day of January, 2022. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. Always something good to listen to, always something new to listen to, because new podcasts are being added all the time. So head on over there, check it out. Find something good to listen to and listen to it. And now I got to let you know that today I have a very busy morning. So we are going to have Monday Meanderings on Tuesday again this week because we're going to do our public reading of the scriptures today. And then I'm going to sign off because I have to get moving fairly quickly after I sign off. So not going to be talking about much today. I'll reserve Monday Meanderings for tomorrow. And so that's the week. We got Theology Thursday coming up on Thursday. No idea what we're doing Wednesday and Friday. We'll figure something out as the week goes by. So that's the week ahead here on Squirrel Chatter. But one thing we know is we will be reading the scriptures. And we are reading through the Bible in the Legacy Standard Version. And I am using the five-day reading plan, which is, let's see if I can tilt it so you can see it on the camera. It's probably way whited out. Yeah, you can't even read it. Too much light. Okay, but we're starting week 5 today. And our scripture reading today is going to be Exodus chapters 1 through 3. And Galatians chapter 5. So let's get started, will we? Shall we? Should we? Yes, we ought to. Have a sip of coffee. Calm down, squirrel. You're a little frantic this morning. I know I got a lot of stuff to do, and I'm already thinking ahead at everything I have to do, and I need to calm down. All right, well, let's begin with our prayer of confession. From the 1552 Book of Common Prayer, written by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. They came, each one with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, and all the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number, but Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the sons of Israel were fruitful, and increased, and multiplied, and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them. And a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it be in the event of war, that they also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and go up from the land." So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labors. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. So the Egyptians brutally compelled the sons of Israel to slave labor, and they made their lives bitter with hard slave labor, in mortar and bricks, and in all kinds of slave labor in the field, all their slave labor which they brutally compelled them to do. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, and the other was named Puah. And he said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth, and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had spoken to them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and let the boys live?" Then the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife can come to them." So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Now it happened that because the midwives feared God, he made households for them. And Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, Every son who is born you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive." Chapter 2. And a man from the house of Levi went and took a daughter of Levi as a wife. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and she saw that he was beautiful. So she hid him for 3 months. But she could not hide him any longer. So she took for him an ark of papyrus reeds and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child in it and put it among the reeds by the banks of the Nile, and his sisters stood at a distance to know what would be done to them. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the Nile, and her young women walked alongside the Nile. And she saw the ark among the reeds and sent her maidservant, and she took it to her. Then she opened it and saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now it happened in those days that Moses had grown up, and he went out to his brothers and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian striking a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So he turned this way and that, and saw that there was no one around. So he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Then he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were struggling with each other. And he said to the wicked one, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you a ruler or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." And Pharaoh heard of this matter, so he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to give water to their father's flock to drink. Then the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses rose up and saved them and gave water to their flock to drink. Then they came to Reuel, their father, and he said, "Why have you come back so soon today?" So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he actually drew the water for us and gave water to the flock to drink." And he said to his daughters, "Where is he then? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Call him so that he may eat bread." And Moses was willing to settle down with the man. And he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses, and she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." Now it happened, in the course of those many days, that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the slavery, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God knew them. Chapter 3. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, "I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why is the bush not burned up?" And Yahweh saw that he had turned aside to look. So God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said also, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And Yahweh said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. So now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh. And so you shall bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you, that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God at this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am about to come to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they will say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Excuse me. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name from generation to generation. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I indeed care about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. So I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you will be with the elders of Israel, and you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will all say to him, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now, please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not give you permission to go except by a strong hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wondrous deeds, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you will not go empty. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and of the women who lives in her house for articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and your daughters. Thus you will plunder Egypt. Galatians chapter 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore stand firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are being justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are eagerly waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross would have been abandoned. I wish that those who are upsetting you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you do not do the things you want But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and other things like these of which I forewarn you. just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in step with the Spirit. Let us not become those with vain glory, challenging one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as I said, I have off to a very busy morning, so we will have Monday meanderings tomorrow. Have a great Monday today, even as you look forward to Monday meanderings tomorrow. I hope you look forward to it. Please look forward to it. It would warm my heart. So have a great day. Enjoy your Monday. I'll enjoy mine as much as I'm able with all the tasks ahead of me. Take care. Push the right button. There we go. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.